John F. Kennedy Library, President's Office Files, Presidential Recordings Collection, Tape 86, Reel 1. 2 minutes, 45 seconds of this tape have been excised for reasons of national security. The 8 excisions have been indicated. For additional information, see Recording Log Number 86. Excision 2. 5 seconds excised.
I wasn't aware of it until recently.
When we say the word, how much interest is this now, the Indians having the threat not being so heavy on them? Do we know whether this is?
I think they will prefer not to have this take place. We're not sure that they're asking for it. They did indicate a very high interest, you remember, at the time when the attack was actually going on. I think there's a 10-15% chance that they will decide that they would prefer not to have something that clearly pins them to an alignment as clearly as this one does. But I think this would be one of the more useful things that we could offer India without getting involved in a heavy commitment of the type that would infuriate the Pakistanis, particularly the buildup of the Indian Air Force on all the independent bases.
What else would we offer that you would just write a letter?
Just, well, first we talk to P.D. Krishnachari about it when he's here, and let him take it up.
Does he have any confidence in his field?
He's the Minister for Defense Supply.
Oh, I
know. He talked about defense supplies when I was over there. But
the answer is no, Mr. President. In a week.
Well, I'm not sure that you can say much different about the Minister of Defense.
I agree. Well, would we talk to him about this before we had British commitment to join?
No, I would think we'd have to go to the British straight away.
I would hope so. But I think there's
another point that I'll return to. It seems to me that implicit in any action of this sort is a commitment to put these squadrons in India for fighting purposes if the Chinese attack. And if we have a serious doubt about that, in that contingency, then I think we'd want to look very hard as to whether we want to go down.
In other words, the word that consulted means more than just consult.
And when you start putting in radar and when you start making prior arrangements for joint training or fly-throughs, the whole purpose of the exercise would be to say to the Indians and the Chinese that if you are attacked, here are some forces that are going to be available to, assist you. Now, if we don't want to say that, my guess is we better not get to
this. My own thought about this is largely a question which hasn't been mentioned yet, is to just how you handle this here domestically with the legislative, with the Senate, with the House, with public opinion. They will certainly look on this thing as a major commitment to defend India if India is attacked, at least if their cities are attacked. You may see the difference. It doesn't mean that you have to do it for a minor attack. And taking this commitment, even though it isn't as legally possible, means an executive agreement. I would have no sort of general resolution or something like that in Congress or by the Senate. It may be possible, but I think only with rather full consultation or some preparation ahead. If that's not done, I would at least be concerned that it'd be misinterpreted. Certain people don't like Nehru. We get up and we have a very mixed up situation here where it looked like we'd offered to do something that we weren't able to maybe carry through.
Well, we can agree without any legislative action, without any treaty arrangement, we can agree to consult with somebody in the case of attack. I think this phrase, by executive agreement, is a little misleading in the memorandum on that point, because it's a matter of policy we can agree to consult with anybody.
Well, that's right.
That's right.
Later on, it says an executive agreement to be consummated by an exchange of notes, which makes it quite formal. And that's what I was thinking about, because Congress said no about that.
I think that we ought to do it, obviously, if the Chinese attack again. We'd have to determine, is it a border dispute? And what we're really saying is that we will agree to consult, which is a limited kind of commitment. And secondly, we're going to defend the city. We're not saying we'll take part in any frontier activity. I think it meets their charge that we're not doing much. We've got to support India against the Chinese, we're supporting any place. So I think we ought to go ahead and just kind of argue it out with the Congress, whatever degree is necessary, but I think we probably ought to go ahead and then ask them or tell them.
If the actual commitment of the force would...
But once, if the Chinese really attack, everybody's going to be far afield because that will always happen. Nobody objects to what we were doing last fall, and we did that very quickly. Nobody will object.
I just want to raise the flag. It's the way you do it. I think we have to have a very careful plan.
Yes, there's one point, Mr. President, in the testimony thus far this spring, we get time and time again on the question of insisting that Congressman refer to it on the Kashmir settlement. And this, I'm sure, would be the principal reaction you'd get, not that we shouldn't help India in case of an attack. Should we do this now without the settlement having been
well, I think we ought to say that. I think that the Secretary said this, that we're doing this particular kind of assistance because we don't want to go into the other kind short of a Kashmir.
Now,
but I agree the question of when this would serve us. We're not going to get a Kashmir dispute, so Congress might as well realize it.
I say this in support of Doug's point of the importance of consultation with at least
expected to go to the two committees next week for a little report on my visit. I trip, and I think that this is probably the best way to end the post and real doubts on the deposit of the cash yourself for your future. And also to proceed from there, say that in the absence of the cash or something, we still have a major interest in the security of India because and the subcontinent they're attacked by the Chinese. We can't just walk away from it in the absence of the cash or something. Paint some of the consequences of that situation. The Chinese should really be doing a damaging blow in India.
We should decide, I think we know that. But I think that, as of course you would, Secretary, we would have to.
Excision 3. 3 seconds excised.
It isn't his fault. You haven't got a cash for settlement. That's just one of those almost insoluble problems. But we can't make it look like it's India. Otherwise, they will oppose it. All assistance to India have certainly opposed this, so I think we have to deal.
I guess that would give us a lot of help on that.
Well, if they're tied with Chinese, and you already pointed out. And again,
I think we would be in trouble with the Indians if we made this offer of, with regard to these squadrons with any implication that was in lieu of any serious military assistance in other respects. Therefore, I think that the immediate background is going to be, of course, what else we can do with them to help them build up their strength against the Chinese. It seems to me that among the first steps we can take on that would be to encourage the British to get on with this Air Force Stay Apart program. I don't know about that.
They're committed to that under the Nassau agreement. That's part of their $60 million. That's the $15 million or $5 million is not in addition to the Nassau, but a part of the Nassau.
And then I do think that there are a good many things that can be done, which not only important from a military point of view, but unless they're done, will very seriously limit India's use of its own forces up on the border area. Deal of roads, some rail improvement, communication, which would have an economic return quite apart from the military value. And we could give some assistance in that direction without, again, inflaming the Pakistanis unduly. And I think we could take you'd have a group studying that aspect of the logistics support.
Yes, but the road part of the program involves very little money and very little real increase in military capabilities. The limitations on the military capabilities at the present time are equipment, logistical support of their existing ground forces, and logistical support of their existing air force, including communications and command and control. I doubt very much if they could utilize efficiently more than $50 million worth of military assistance in fiscal 64. Were we to give them any more than that, I'm afraid it would dilute their effort, spread their very limited officer and NCO corps over an excessively large number of men, and result in a reduction rather than an increase in their military capability. But I do think they could efficiently utilize $50 million worth of assistance to their air and ground forces.
Without giving them anything that is like fighters?
Without giving them anything that Pakistan could really take offense at. And of that $50 million, an absolute minimum of $10 million would have to come from the British, because it would be represented by parts for British supplied equipment. And were we to supply that $10 million worth, we would have to provide gold to the British and obtain parts to give them to the Indians, which I doubt we could justify. So that I would say that as we think of it today, a $50 million military assistance program for fiscal 64 would be justified, of which number at least $10 million should come from the UK.
What about the transport aircraft, Bob? What's your...
We think the first action to take is to improve the effectiveness of the aircraft they already have. They have large numbers, they're not utilizing them effectively. They are American supply aircraft, and we therefore should provide the logistical support and the assistance to them in organizing them efficiently. We've already supplied considerable support. We should continue to do so during fiscal 64.
Are we going to have this supply minister come over here and work with the
give, what he's going to request of us, what we're going to give to them, which will have any hope of satisfying them, meeting their political as well as their military needs at the same time, not completely alienating the Pakistanis. You see us getting at that figure and that kind of equipment.
Mr. President, the conversations we've had with Indian representatives, both here and in India within the past 3 weeks, I think you've gone far already toward introducing realism into their military planning. For example, I understand they have already reduced their manpower objective for the Army from 1,400,000 men down to 1,000,000 men. This is a major step forward. It should be reduced still further down toward 800,000, but at least they've come a part of the way. Furthermore, their military budget is planned at an excessively high figure. If they spend $1,800,000,000 in the year from April 1st of 63 to April 1st of 64, this will drain away from their civilian economy funds they need for capital investment for consumer products. We should seek to get that budget reduced. We should emphasize to them the need for utilizing efficiently their very limited officer corps and NCO corps, and for utilizing efficiently the aircraft they have and the ground divisions they have. I think further conversation with them will be productive in achieving those objectives. I don't believe it's necessary, while they're here, to make firm commitments for fiscal 64. I don't know how Dean...
You know, this lawyer, Gilbert, suggested that as far as the first was trying to take something back with us, and it would do something about the air transport and the training. That would be
provision of 24 C-119s to replace the C-130s and the provision of air training is formally requested.
This we can do.
Actually, they have not formally requested air training.
No,
they had a conversation with their air marshal last Saturday and said, get in your request because this is one area we look very favorably on.
Yeah.
So,
I think we can do this.
Bring you the wishes.
Bring the C-119.
Those are international programs.
Yes, and they're out of the aircraft. We're feeding them out of our own. And they already have C-119s from us, and this is entirely possible. It wouldn't cost very much.
We would, to fulfill Ken's objectives on this surface, this awe of what we're doing on the air squadron, I suppose, then we then have to begin to talk to the Congress so that we don't have it come out if we're going to discuss it with this fellow. I'm sure he's going to Yes, so at what point, I think if the department, rather than try to do it today, we can try to map out a scenario as to how we would proceed with the Indians and with the Congress. Do you understand we should go ahead with this offer?
I agree with that. We really need to have a conference test flight, because if they say no on this one, then I think we have much more serious problems whether we do this air squadron thing. So is the U.S. venture.
Well, I think we ought to say...
We had a draft message to him a week or so ago.
I don't know whether he drafted it. I think they ought to say perhaps that we may want to say to the Indians, we're ready to go ahead, you get the British. I think we got to do... it seems to me this isn't much of a... I think it's the right thing.
Excision 4. 3 seconds excised.
Well, the Chinese aren't going to let me go to Hong Kong.
Your Majesty, the government.
Excision 5. 38 seconds excised.
Mr. President, one other question I wanted to ask, if I might. What is the plan for discussing with Krishnamachari the defense production equipment and the raw materials for defense support? As a
may I respond to that and first go back to the Dr. Sam's point?
Yeah.
The conclusion I come to is we're not likely to get British acceptance of joint U.S.-U.K. air defense squadron exercises very quickly. I imagine this is going to be a very, very sticky matter, unless they've changed their views in the last 10 days.
It was a very, very much attached matter, Mr. President. Butler might well be the key.
Butler?
Yeah. Old India friend.
Why don't they want to, what is there, right? Commitment they don't want anything to do with that. Position.
Excision 6. 8 seconds excised.
They don't like it.
Again, we put heavily on the estimate that the Chinese are not going to attack again. Therefore, when I start up the Chinese over Hong Kong, I'll make the whistle of an eyes in India.
They really don't accept our basic view that there's a revolution in policy in the
and self-confident. I think that's what it comes back to.
And they may basically, they sound funny, but they may basically have some economic and business and trading things in mind, because they hate, they don't think the Chinese are going to attack. They're going to make a war. Therefore, doing this, may just make the Chinese mad. So instead of buying Viscounts, they'll buy Carabels or something like that. It means an awful lot to them.
Let's say we don't get British. How we then, instead of putting in quite this form, get into a just a joint training exercise, or get us into Chicago, moving in and out of there?
Yes, I think this is, it's not impossible we'd get the Australians interested in this one. Australia gave India quite a shot in the arm as far as Australia's moral attitude was concerned. They didn't offer anything.
But the British in a very difficult position, really, if they say no in the end of this one. It seems to me that it's hard for them to do. If we really mean to go ahead.
I don't think they'll say stall. No. They'll stall. They'll just say, well, now's not exactly the right time. We should link this to Kashmir. We've got a series of events ahead we don't know the result of. Let's defer this until we see the future more clearly.
I think we can speak of this in a very tentative fashion with Christian Charlie. After having talked to a few of the leaders on the Hill this coming week.
Why do we feel we have to have the British with us on this one?
Well, I think it's important, Mr. President, for our own people here to see some other flags flying when we go charging off to the assistance of other people who are in trouble. We're carrying about as much of a load as we can carry with the notion that we're the gendarmes of the universe. And here's the greatest member of the British Commonwealth in terms of size and whole part of the world position out there. I think we'd be hard-pressed to tell our own people why we're doing this with India if even the British won't do it, the Australians won't do it, the Canadians won't do it. We need to have those other flags flying on these joint enterprises.
If we don't get them to take that first easy step, they'll never take the second step with it.
I think they will. I don't think they'll say no at the end of the track. At the end of the track, the question is how long the track is going to run.
We get then from the Defense Department, the State of the State Defense Department, exactly what we propose to do with the British, with the Congress, with the Indians, on this one problem, which is the air, and on the other problem is to try to see what these conversations we'll have with supply and this, what we'll offer. How we can send him back, at least to not looking like we turned him off completely at the same time, not really alienating the facts now.
I think one
of the most... going to be here?
I mean, the 16th of May,
I think one of the most important things we can do with him when he's here is to see if we can get a little closer agreement on the nature of the Chinese threat and the nature of the forces, the scale of forces needed to deal with it.
Excision 7. 63 seconds excised.
Now, I noticed Chester Bowen recommended that a political decision prompt to communicate to the Indian government our intention, however legally hedged, to defend Indonesia's attack by China. Perhaps the U.S.-UK air force and the Chinese aggression would be the best vehicle to convey this decision. Yeah.
some commitments. Now, if it is politically important.
Mr. President, I would hope before we get too deeply into the Indian question, we take a broader look at where we're going. The attitude we're going to maintain versus Great China all the way from Manchuria to South. This is just one spectacular aspect of the overall problem of how to cope with Red China politically and militarily over the next decade.
It seems that India is the only place where they get the manpower, really.
I would think we fight this on the ground as a non-nuclear war if indeed Red China came in masses in any part of India.
I think the chances would be much less unless they're prepared to just to take if they knew that we were clearly committed. Maybe they know by our action last fall that we are, by our action in South Vietnam. But what I was thinking is that whatever restraint we impose on them and whatever assistance it would give us politically, it seems to me we should be prepared to go some distance to give a guarantee, because I think it would be just like an attack on India in force. It would be just as much of a red flag as the North Korean attack on South Korea was in 1950.
Mr. President, I think General Taylor is implying that before any substantial commitment to defend India against China is given, we should recognize that in order to carry out that commitment against any substantial Chinese attack, we would have to use nuclear weapons.
Excision 8. 44 seconds excised.
The conclusion they draw in this particular instance is we should adjust the South Korean forces and U.S. forces downward to a more realistic level, recognizing that any Chinese communist attack would require the use of nuclear weapons. Now, I think exactly the same thesis would apply to India, and I frankly would fully support the thesis you suggested, with the understanding that any large Chinese communist attack on any part of that area would require the use of nuclear weapons by the U.S.
Right.
And this is to be preferred over the introduction of large numbers of U.S. soldiers.
But required is something else. We did defend Korea without nuclear forces once before.
Well, against not Chinese, but against a lesser Chinese capability, I suspect.
There is an element here I really want to emphasize, though, Mr. President, and that is if there is a general appearance of a shift in strategy to the dependence on a nuclear defense against the Chinese in the Far East, we're going to inject into this whole world opinion of the old bugaboo of being willing to use nuclear weapons against Asians and when we're talking about a different kind of strategy in Europe. And this is going to create great problems with the Japanese, with all the yellow people.
Well, I think we should be fair.
This is against the background.
I think the only time we've ever used that clarity in our own minds is just about making it very, very clear in our own minds what's required. And then the extent to which we discuss our views with others is another question.
No, but this is a political element which enters into the decision. That's all I'm suggesting.
Well, in any case, we have to decide that. Quite obviously, we'd use nuclear weapons if we were really going to be overrun in South Korea or in India or in Western Europe, if we had to. I quite agree we don't want to announce a massive retaliation strategy because that's obviously not any fun. But I think on this thing, I don't see any sense in our defending South Korea, Taiwan, South Vietnam, Thailand, and not knowing that we should defend India now. And therefore, we will defend India if she were attacked, and the Chinese won't attack India if they think we're going to do any more, unless they're going to overrun all of it. Now, the question really, therefore, is a deterrent necessary to the Chinese, and therefore do we want to express a guarantee at this time? And secondly, what way can we get the most political mileage out of it if we give the guarantee to the Indians and the least political heat if we give it with the Chinese from the Pakistanis? And do we need the British to go with us on it? And do we say to the Congress? These are all the things I think the department ought to come forward with because next weeks, because I think that it's... And I would say the point of obviously the sphere is this thing, the air, because that's maybe the way in which we give this commitment without putting it in.
I would make it to do it. Give them 90% of what Justin Bowles was talking about with this, with assuming a great deal less.
If you do it, you don't get into an incriminating hassle with the United Kingdom.
finally, if the British won't go along, if we decide politically that we have to do something more than we've done, and maybe that we just, instead of making a commitment on these cities, we would, the first step would be an exchange of training, which we would push the radar out there, put these squadrons out in, and that would be our first step, that we would go in more to, we might have an understanding of the missions, and so on, or by privately, but at least we'd get our squadron in and out without particularly having a public discussion of any guarantee or what their role would be in Calcutta or New Delhi, which is really a more precise description than we usually do. But I think if we just had them there and training and in and out and the radar was permanent, I think that probably would have a beneficial effect if they would take it. At least they will have something offered to them. They can't say, which I think would be worse than to say we would give them. We held them up. That's what I think first thing like.
A lot of that briefing book really is adequate for this issue.